I'm going to start with a subject that is inexhaustible. And that is, God is love. I don't even think that we could ever in a lifetime cover the love of God. Even though you and I may have heard numerous messages, maybe at camp meeting, maybe in the services, maybe in our testimonies, but we will never exhaust the love of God. And yet I think it's so good for us to stop and consider the love of God. This is the direction the Lord has taken my mind this week. Actually, it was while I was in prayer one day. And hopefully I will be able to convey what the Lord impressed upon me. I feel very shallow this morning. I remember hearing, I wasn't there, but I heard somebody, a minister that got up and said that he was going to preach on the love of God, and that's just about all he said, and closed his book and sat down. He said, I can't do it. So we're pretty inadequate to be able to express how great God's love is for you and me. And yet we experience it every day. Every one of us here in this room and beyond experience the grace and love of God, the great love of God every day. We just need to recognize it. So I'm thinking of, no doubt there are volumes of books written on the love of God. Somebody getting some inspiration and trying to write those words down, and maybe you and I can pick up something and read about the love of God, and oh, it just excites us. Does it excite you when you think how God loves us, even when we're not lovable? And so I'm thinking of the scriptures. There's so many scriptures that try to convey to you and me what the love of God is. And all of the scriptures are written because he loved. How about the songs in our book? We have a number of songs that are written only about the love of God. And you know probably some of those songs by heart. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. Oh, someone, somewhere, received an inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write those words. And you and I are so privileged to be able to sing those songs. There's many words. My favorite is the part that speaks of the love of God being like, if the ocean was ink, you know, I just get a vision every time we sing that song. Don't you?
Yes.
Do you allow those words to get in your heart and open up your mind and try to envision how great God's love? How big is the ocean? It's ink. Every stalk on earth, a quill. Every man, a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. I think the sky was the parchment. We need to think about how great God's love is, because we have tasted of it. We've experienced it. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking of other words that are written that try to open our eyes and our understanding. And I've written some of those words down, boundless. Can you fathom a boundless love? You don't have it. You don't have a boundless love. You and I can be affected. Maybe by offenses. Someone has offended us. Our love is being put to the test. God's love is not put to the test. Remember that. It's boundless. It is infinite. It is supreme. It is everlasting. It is inexpressible. I found these words when I tried to study about this, and people are saying that. His love is inexpressible. It's inconceivable. We just have a taste. Just a little taste. And I think about the song for the children. Just a little bit. It's enough. God's love. You can just have a little bit of God's love and it's sufficient. Thank the Lord. So, the love of God. I read this somewhere, and as I thought on it, I believe it's true. It says that love demands expression. If you just think of yourself at that time that you, and I don't want to be too light about this, but when you fell in love, did you want to hide it? You wanted to express it. God's the same way. Love demands expression. Give it out. Show it. Speak of it. In other words, we don't fall in love with someone and never tell them, do we? We always want to utter those words, I love you. And God is saying that today. I love you. I have the very best interest in my heart toward you. I want the very best for you. That's an expression of His love. Thank the Lord. So the very foundation of all that God is love. I think that's why the Lord had the scripture, the verse put in there, God is this. Because that's the very foundation of Himself. And when did the foundation begin? Before the foundation of the earth. There was never a time that God did not love. He didn't have to learn it. Nobody could teach Him about love because He was the very essence of love. Thank the Lord. So as we think about it and as we think about the Word of God, we know that God was love in the past. He is today, and as long as this world lasts, He will be love. We don't have to worry about Him changing. He will be love. There's a scripture in John 17 and 24 in the latter part of that verse. It's Jesus speaking, and He is speaking actually in a prayer for you and me and for the church. But what He said in that last part, He said, thou, speaking of the Father, thou lovest me from before the foundation of the world. So I have to look at that and say God always was love, and He loved His Son. Amen. So there was never a time that God existed that He did not have love. And I think about His very nature and the purpose that He had for His whole plan was because He loved. And when He created the world, He fulfilled That was his expression of his love. And I'm thinking about how that, and you can turn over there and read in the first of Genesis, and everything that God made, what did he say? He said he looked upon it and he said, oh, this is good. You know, that's the same as saying, oh, I just love it. Have you ever done that about something you've accomplished? I remember when I was younger and I was canning and gardening, and I canned and froze just about everything we ate. And there was something good about that. Maybe I would take out these jars of green beans and set them on the counter and listen for the ping, and I would look at it and I said, I just love it. Well, it's because you know it's good. God's that way too. He looked on everything and he would say, oh, this is good. One place he even said, oh, it is very good. All that he did it for a purpose and a reason. Yeah. All that you and I see, he's made it for us. A place for you and me to inhabit, be comfortable. He's ordered the seasons. He's ordered the temperature. He's ordered everything that you and I could exist. But in spite of all of that that he looked at and saw was very good, and he said he loved it, it was man that he loved the most. He created man in his own image, in his likeness. And I can just sort of imagine that he, as he created Adam and as he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life and he began living, he looked on him with love. He had a deep love for that which he has created. But it was more than just the body. It was because he breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living soul. And God loves that soul more than he loves your body. Why? Because it's eternal. It's part of himself. It's going to go back to him. It will be somewhere in eternity. And he has a deep love for your soul and my soul. Don't ever forget that. And let me say this. You need to love your own soul. You need to see the value of caring for your own soul, because your soul is in your hands. I think one of our verses up here has said it, if not now. My soul is in my hands. I can do with my soul whatever I wish, and God gives me the privilege of making those choices. He does not force you, but he desires something from you. Oh, he wants you to love your own soul. So God saw that everything was good. I'm thinking about the design, all of this being designed by love, and thinking of the world, how that the world looks at all of this that he has created, and they make their predictions. And they say, well, in so many 100,000 years, the sun is going to burn out. Or sometimes they even say in 12 years, it's all going to come to an end. People like to look upon it and say, God didn't really create something that was perfect. It's perfect in that he created it to last until he says it is enough. And when that time comes, it will be exhausted. But it's sufficient for mankind until God says it is enough. And that's because he loved. He loved us enough that we don't have to worry about global warming. We don't have to worry about an ice age. Why? Because of the Word of God. Because the Word says that the seasons aren't going to change. It's going to be summer and winter and spring and fall, and it's going to be harvest time and planting and all of those things. So I don't have to worry. God has it in control because He loves mankind. He wants man to live and see His goodness. The scripture says that the goodness of the Lord leadeth men to repentance. And if you and I will open our eyes and see His goodness, it will affect us, that we will have a heart that is more turned toward Him every day. We may not start out and have our whole heart turned toward Him. I think most of us have not. I think that's a sure statement. But I want to tell you something. I have found that the way He has shown His love to me down through my life, it's been little by little and line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little of His love. And He caused me to understand just a little bit of His love. Thank the Lord. I'm thinking of Adam and Eve, how He loved to walk and talk with them. He took pleasure in that which He had created. You and I are created beings. We're just as important to God as Adam was. And He loves to walk and talk with you and me. He wants a relationship with us. He wants you and me to desire a relationship with Him. He wants you and me to learn something about love. We're going to have to know something about love. I'm thinking of how God is so mindful of you and me. The scripture says that, doesn't it say that our names are written on the palm of His hands? You think, well, how could that be? That's just how interested He is in your life and my life. We're ever before Him. And for what reason does He want to be mindful of us? Because He wants to prove Himself to everyone. He would love to prove Himself to every human being on the face of the earth. His love reaches to every human being and doesn't run out. It doesn't diminish. It is well sufficient. It just takes a little bit and it's more than enough for each one. Thank the Lord. So I believe that the Lord loves to prove His love to us. And He loves to prove His great power to us. And what is His power? His power is when He helps you and me overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, that's a wonderful place. And He loves proving His power to us. And He loves to help us in time of need. And what does the scripture say? He will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory. We can claim those things because He loves to prove that to us. Thank the Lord.
Can I give you that scripture?
Yes.
Isaiah 49.
Isaiah 49.
And 15 is where I want to start.
15.
Can a woman forget her
child? Oh, yes. Can a woman forget her child?
That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb.
That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb.
Yea, they may forget.
Listen.
They might not forget thee.
People, women, can forget their children. They can give them away. They can kill them.
It says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands.
I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands.
Thy walls are continually before me.
Thy walls are continually before thee. What a wonderful passage. God will not forget you and me. He loves us with a divine and everlasting and inexhaustible love. Thank the Lord. So he loves to help us, and he loves to show us his love every day.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
1 John 4:19 is the scripture that we're familiar with, because it says, you and I love him because he first loved us. He won us by his love. You know, it's a wonderful thing when somebody wins another's love. There have been times in my life that the Lord allowed me to go through in a test and a trial of wounds and hurts. And those individuals that may cause the wound and hurt, because you know I might turn around and hurt somebody else. But I want to tell you something. To win their love is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
I've experienced it. I remember the first time we went over to Germany. And it was Ben's brother. And we couldn't quite tell who was married to who because of the way they were sitting. And after church one night, they came up and they introduced themselves, and my mind is going blank. Vitaly and Elvira. They were happily married. But she said to me, she said, when I married him, I didn't love him. And I was a little bit shocked, and I looked over at him, and he has this grin on his face from. But she said, he won my love. She proclaimed her love because what he did, he pursued her and her love. That's what God is doing for you and me right now. If he wants us, the song says, let me love thee more and more, you know. That's how love is. Love is not something that just is stagnant. And it doesn't stay in one place. It must not stay in one place. It must be something that is growing, actively growing. And it's done because of God's love. Just like in that couple. He pursued her until she loved him. That's what God is doing for us. He is working with us continually to that we will love him more and more until this fleeting life is o'er. It's not going to quit. I love the way he loves me. Don't you?
Yes.
Don't you love the way he draws you? And he just calls out to us. And he begins to put things in our life that puts us on our knees and brings the tears, and yet right there he is. And he brings you through and he brings you out. And then you feel this greater love than ever before. And it's not the fullest. It needs some more growth. We're all going to need that growth clear to the end. Thank the Lord. So Romans 5:5 It says that the love, the latter part of the verse is, the love of God is shed abroad by what? The Holy Ghost. So it is giving us love. It's introducing love to us. It's teaching us how to love God. Now, our expression, because remember, love demands an expression. You and I have to have an expression of love to God too. And the Word of God, how does the Word say that our expression is shown if we love God? Through obedience. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. Now it's sort of switching back over to my foot. God's already got the love. He's already shown the love. He's won me by His love. Now what am I going to do to express my love? I'm going to obey His commandments. And God's going to look on that and say, that is so precious. And that is so good. And I just love it when my children obey my commandments. It tells me that they love me. Don't ever forget that. You can have an expression of love to God by knowing His Word, reading His Word. So our expression to God of our love is in another way, if we love others. John 13 and 34, Jesus said, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another just like I love you. That's a new commandment. So for me to express to God that I love Him, I've got to love my brethren. I've got to love my family. I've got to love my enemy. Don't you know when He sees that you are forgiving your enemy and loving your enemy, He is smiling and saying, oh, that's so good. I love it. Thank the Lord. Then 1 John 4 and 7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth Him. I'm getting acquainted now with Him. He's putting the things in my life that's going to allow me to express my love to Him. And then I'm going to turn and read several verses in Matthew 22. And I'm going to... They're familiar verses. I'm going to read 38, then back to 37, and then to 40. 38 says, I'm going to read 39. Thou shalt love the Lord thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I want to ask you something. Do you love yourself? Did you know you need to love yourself? Now, why do you need to love yourself? Because God created you and gave you life and made you who you are. And if we resent who we are, it's like throwing it back into His face and saying, you made a mistake. You didn't love me enough. That's what that's saying. But God created you. You have the personality. You have characteristics. Everything. He knew you before you were born. And yet, we must like ourselves or love ourselves. But we must also love the neighbor like we love ourselves. We must have a care for other people. And Jesus even gave an example of who the neighbor was. And it was those that really showed love and care, not the ones that walked around and didn't do anything. So you and I are called, commanded. Actually, this is a commandment. You got to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love yourself because God created you who you are. He's helping us. Don't you know the song? He's still working on me. He's still working on us. He will till the end. But yet he wants us to love what he is doing in our life. Therefore, we should love ourselves. I know that's hard to do. I have trouble with it. You almost think, oh, you shouldn't love yourself. You should, because God created you and made you who you are. So the scripture says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then go back up to 37, because this is talking about our expression of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And it says, this is the first and great commandment. Now, God is not commanding something that is not possible. He will lead you one step at a time in loving him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. We read that and some might think, oh, I've got to do it right now. That's where he is leading us to, that we can give him our whole heart. We can love him with all of our strength even, all of our mind. And it's a commandment. Let that be your goal. You're reaching forth. You're pressing toward the mark. Pressing toward, well, the mark of the prize of the high calling, but you're pressing toward the mark where you are going to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. That's our goal. Continually growing in love. So that's the first and great commandment. And it says then, verse 40, on these two commandments is all of the law. God wants that to be our foundation, that we strive to not only love God supremely, but to also love others. And you can't do it without the love of God. It's the only way. Now, you all have heard me tell this. First victory that I had when I got saved, Lauren wasn't saved. And I thought I could not live this way unless he was saved. And I've even said, I was miserable in my salvation. And I got down before the Lord and I cried out to the Lord. I said, I cannot live this way. I have got to have something more. And God knew what it was. I'd given up God for him many times. And the Lord spoke to me. He came down. He met me. And he said a very simple thing. You can love him all you want. Just love me the most. That's the secret in all of our life. Love God the most. He will help us with every detail of our life. Thank the Lord. Now I'm going to introduce a portion of a song, number 7. I don't have my book up here, but I love thy kingdom, Lord. Somebody get the song and give me the next little phrase after that.
The place of thine abode.
The place of thine abode. Go ahead.
The church of our blessed Redeemer.
The church of our blessed Redeemer. Saved with his own precious blood. Saved with his own precious blood. Do you love the kingdom of God? Because it is bought by the blood. It is an extension of God. It's His plan. It's His purpose. He loves the bride of Christ. And the church is the bride. Read the second verse.
I love thy church, O God.
I love thy church, O God.
Her walls before thee stand.
Her walls before me stand.
Dear as the apple of thine eye.
Dear as the apple of thine eye.
Engraven upon thy hand.
Engraven upon thy hand. There's one verse in there that says, for her my tears do fall. Something like that.
For her my prayers ascend.
For her my prayers ascend.
To her my cares and toils be given.
To her my toils and cares be given.
Till toils and cares shall end.
Till toils and cares shall end. I want to tell you something. When you fall in love with the Lord, and you're desiring to always be growing in His love, you will have the same love for the people of God, for the church of God. You'll find yourself praying sometimes and saying and proclaiming it. And you may even say, Lord, if I don't love enough, help me to love more. So that's how the Lord sort of gave me the little message. I was in prayer one day and I was proclaiming all that I loved of the Lord. So I'm going to give it to you. Did you know God wants to hear us say, I love you? You might think He's just a spirit. He's not a man, but He's listening. And He wants us to even say the words. So in prayer, sometimes try to do this. Say, oh God, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate all you're doing for me. Let Him hear you say the words. So I was telling the Lord how much I loved Him. And automatically, I had to think of Jesus. I had to think of His Son, and I began to say, oh, I love your Son. And I love the sacrifice of your Son. And I love the blood. And I love the fact that He didn't fail. Do you love it? Let our passions be stirred.
Yes.
Think of what the sacrifice was, and it was for you and me. And then I began to think about the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, I love the Holy Ghost. I love what the Holy Spirit does for me. I love the fact that it can teach me, it can guide me, it can reprove me. It does all that I need, and I love it. Do you love to be corrected? Love it, because it means you're His child. You're not a, and I hesitate to use such a bad word, but it's in the Word, you're not a bastard. You're a child of the King. And He corrects us like a father. And then I began to think about the Word. I love the Word of God. Do you love the Word? Is it hid in your hearts? Oh, thank you. The Word of God is precious. And He wants you to taste of it. And He wants you to love it. Have you ever picked up the Bible? And many times you can pick up the Bible and hardly find anything. Is that true? We have to keep pressing. and we have to keep loving it. And then you'll pick it up, and all of a sudden the Lord just anoints it, and He makes it so precious, and you'll say, oh, that is so good, I want some more. That's what He does. Do you love the promises? Do you stand on the Word? You can stand on it. I remember one time, somebody that at that time I was close to them, and they were going through some very difficult places, and they literally took the Bible and stood on it in their effort to say, I have faith in all of the Word of God. They literally took the Bible, laid it in the floor, and stood on it. By faith, you can stand on the Word of God. Love it. Do you love His commandments? The Scripture says they're not grievous. I love the ways of God. Tell Him you love His ways. Do you love the light? These are all things that came to me when I had to stop and write them down. I was just so inspired with what God was to me. Do you love His power? Do you love His grace? Is His grace sufficient? What about healing? Do you love the healing power of God for your body, for your soul, for your spirit, for your mind, for your emotions? It's for the whole man. Love it. Get a hold of it by faith and say, Lord, I appeal to the virtue of the stripes that Jesus suffered, that opened a fountain that reaches us today. Claim the promises. Yes. Do you love deliverance? Yes. Those are some things that I had in my prayers. And then I'm going to give you now, you know how I like definitions. I have four. What love is. It's an intense feeling of deep affection. Do you love the Word deeply? It's a great interest and pleasure in something. When you love it, you'll feel a great interest in it. You'll take pleasure in it. Love is a natural passion inclining us to delight in an object. I liked that one. It's a natural passion. We have to let it grow, though. And then love is a gracious principle. This is from a Bible dictionary. Love is a gracious principle wrought in the soul by God that can cause us to delight in God and in the things of God. That's what we need, to love it all. We need His love, exciting our passions for the things of God. Pray for me.